The title of this message today is, Have You Reached the End of Yourself? Have you reached the end of yourself? And I want to read to you a quote. It says, At the end of yourself is the beginning of God. At the end of yourself is the beginning of God. Now, a lot of people might hear that and their first thought is, okay, when you pass from this life, you go into the presence of God. But that's not what I want you to get out of this quote today. At the end of yourself is the beginning of God. And I want to help you find a different meaning to that quote today that I think is going to challenge you, but also help you today. And in fact, if you're out there and you have been struggling and you need Jesus, you need help in your life, this message is for you. And I'm going to start by reading a scripture in Luke chapter 10, verse 17 through 18. And when I read this, you're going to wonder, what in the world are you talking about today? How does this relate to this message? But just follow along. We're going to get there. Luke 10, 17 through 18. Then the 70 returned with joy. Now, the 70 was followers of Jesus that he sent out two by two. He told them to go and proclaim the kingdom of God in their world, in their area. And so they went out and they did what he told them to do. And it says here that when they returned, they had joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, listen, I was watching Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Now let's talk about who Satan is. He's your adversary, right? He's the one seeking whom he may devour, which he's trying to devour you, isn't he? He's trying to destroy your life. But how did Satan come about? Did you know that Satan used to be an angel? He was created as a beautiful, wonderful, powerful angel whose name was Lucifer. How many of you heard the story of Lucifer? Well, I'm going to go over it really quickly here today. Lucifer was a powerful, mighty angel who had a desire come upon him that became his downfall. And his desire was that he would become like God. In fact, in the Bible, it describes his mentality. He says of himself, I will exalt myself. I will become like the Most High. He wanted to be God. He saw himself and the beauty that God had given him. He saw the power that God had given him. He saw all of creation and how it worshiped God, and he desired to be God. He thought, this is my world. I'll control it. It's my truth. What I say is going to be reality. It's my power. I'll change things and make them the way I want them. It's my purpose. Everything and everyone exists for my purpose. He took the seat on the throne of God, and well, we know what happens then. There can only be one God, and God threw him off the throne. Of course, this throne was simply in his mind, but God threw him off the throne, and he was cast out of heaven. I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Now, you might think to yourself, how dumb can Satan be? I mean, really, you know God. You're there with him face to face. I mean, I know God well enough to know that you're not going to sit on God's throne and be God. So how stupid could Lucifer be that he thought he was going to dethrone God and sit on God's throne? But you want to know the truth today? The truth is that most people have the same spirit within them that Lucifer had. The desire to be God, to sit on the throne, to be in charge, to shape things the way you desire. It's rooted in Lucifer's original sin. He said, I will exalt myself. And that's what we say oftentimes, I will exalt myself. He said, I will become like the Most High. We say, I will become like the Most High. Now, in people's minds, they reject the sentence. They reject that mentality, that idea, but in the practice of their everyday lives, they are saying, I will exalt myself. I will become like the Most High God. Now, you're thinking today, no, not me, Pastor. I would never do anything like that. Well, let's take a test today and let's find out. The spirit of Lucifer versus the spirit of God. You see, the spirit of God, God's way is the right way. The spirit of God says God's way is the right way, and your opinion doesn't matter. And your wishes doesn't matter. And your desires doesn't matter. And your history doesn't matter. Come on, that God's way is the right way. The spirit of Lucifer says my way is the right way. The spirit of Lucifer says, I have a vision how things should be, and I want them to be that way in my world and in the world around me. We live in a time where people not only want to be God of their own lives, they want to be God of your life. They want to use social pressure. They want to use laws and court decisions to tell you how to think, how to speak, and what to do. Why? Because they have decided, I will exalt myself. I will become like the Most High God. It's my opinion. Oh, God's opinion on morality doesn't matter. I'll decide what's right and wrong. You know, I always wondered about this. You know, people saying, pretending like the morality they have for the world to live in, they think they're so right and they're so just on the money, and yet their grandma thinks completely different. They wouldn't say their grandma's immoral, but because she was raised in a different generation, she has a different morality than they do. Don't you see that as you change generations and as you change cultures, morality changes? And if you're relying upon mankind to tell you what's right and wrong, it's going to change. For even you yourself change your opinion on right and wrong, don't you? God's way says God will decide what's right and wrong, and I'm subject to what he says. It's not my job to decide morality, not for my life or anybody else's life. It's my will versus God's will. I want it to turn out my way, God. So many people's prayers are about how God can do what they want him to do rather than submitting their own life to the will of God. Let's continue this test. It's the Holy Spirit's power versus my power. I can do it. I can take care of things. Have you noticed it's part of our human nature that when things are going good, we feel like we're pretty special, don't we? Like we could conquer the world. You know, when the bills are paid and you're doing well, driving a nice car, and you pull up to the stoplight and there's a homeless person over there, and that spirit within you says, boy, I'm glad I didn't turn out like these people. You know, I'm glad that I can handle, I can work hard, I'm smart, I take care of things. If they just do what I did, they'd be blessed like me. We have that mentality that it's me. And in the world today, we have things such as the self-help movement, the self-empowerment movement, the self-fulfillment movement. It's all about me, my power, my ability. I'll do it. I'll handle it. I'll take care of it. Do you know that us having this self-fulfillment, self-empowerment mentality is the devil's copy to God's power of the Holy Spirit at work in your life? Did you know that? Do you know that the Lord God wants you to be baptized in the power of the Holy Spirit? He wants you to be baptized in the power of God, and it be God's power at work in your life. But the devil is saying to you, exalt yourself, be like the Most High God, and you empower your own self. You become in charge of your own life. Are you taking this test with me today? It's God's pleasure versus my pleasure. Do what makes me feel good. You know, there's a lot of gospel going around in the world, and it's been going around for a long time, that God exists to make you happy. That if Christianity is right, that if you're serving God right, you'll always have ooey-gooey wonderful feelings, just like when you first fell in love. You know, it'll always be ooey-gooey and wonderful and sweet and just fantastic. But, you know, when I read about the disciples, the ones who follow Jesus closely, I find them being beaten and shipwrecked and thrown into prison and taken to the point of death. I find them going through difficulties and challenges. Yes, the joy of the Lord sits underneath all that. But serving God is not about your pleasure or your purpose. It's about God's pleasure. And we need a church so full of the Spirit of God today, they reject the mentality, the idea that Christianity is only right when I feel good. Come on, are you hearing me? Christianity is not just for your pleasure. It's not for your pleasure at all. It's for God's pleasure. You may think of sin as actions you commit, but it really begins with a position you take. Let me say that one more time because you need to get this. You may think of sin as something you do, an action you take, but sin begins with a position you take. That position is to sit on the throne of God and say, I will exalt myself. I will make myself like the Most High God. I'll decide how it needs to be. I'll decide what's going to happen. I'll use my might, my wisdom, my intelligence, my opportunity to change things and make it turn out the way I want it to turn out. We've gotten caught up in this lie, a lie that some people live in for their entire lives. They think it's my right, it's my place. I belong on the throne. They've positioned themselves on God's throne. They walk in darkness and the results end up being catastrophic. So I want to ask you today, have you reached the end of yourself or are you on God's throne? Have you decided that you're the one who's in charge, that you decide how things need to be and God needs to just use his influence and power to make things turn out how you want them to be? What happens when you're on the throne? When you place yourself on God's throne in your life and you decide that you're in charge and you decide that the way you see the world is the way it needs to be. Number one is you want. You remember when you were a kid and they asked you, what did you want to be when you grew up? You remember that? How many of you remember what you said? Batman, firefighter, president, spaceship. I will bet that none of you said you want to battle cancer. That none of you said you wanted to lose a loved one. That none of you ever said that you want to struggle financially. I'll bet none of you said, I want to struggle because I don't get to go to college and I'm going to struggle trying to make ends meet. None of you said, I want to grow up and fight marriage problems. Nobody says that because we have an idea of how we want things to work out. We think to ourselves, the perfect life is coming my way. I remember being, 10, 12, 13 years old and always saying things like, when I get old, I'm going to have a car like that. But I didn't know a car like that costs a whole lot of money and a whole lot of insurance money and a whole lot of repairs. And I decided when I got grown and saw the paycheck, I decided, this car over here is pretty good. I'll be okay with this car right over here. I kind of like it a little bit better. I learned that what I want is not always what's best for me. But when you're on the throne, you look around and you decide you want things the way you want them. Things got to turn out how I want them. But when they don't, what do? You work. You push. You try to force things to happen. You come up with plans and ideas and you try to make yourself stronger and powerful and you try to position yourself to make all of your dreams come true. And I see people online all the time chasing after money and success. And it's the goal, it's the goal, it's the goal. Make money because money is freedom and money is power. And money is everything. And if you have money, then you can buy what you want. You can go where you want. You can do what you want. Think about how great money is. But the Bible says of money, you fool, tonight your soul will be required of you. And then who's going to get your money? Come on. We work and we push to try to make things happen, but no matter how hard we push, we come across problems that are bigger than we are. The marriage is in trouble. The finances fall apart. You lose your career. You lose your job. You couldn't afford to go to college. Your kids are in trouble. Sickness hits you. The doctor gives you a bad report time and time again. No matter how smart you are, how hard you try, life gets bigger than you are, and you face challenges that you can't fix in your own power. So what happens when you look around and you have the wants of your life and you're working hard, but you're still not getting there and you can't make things happen that you want to happen? What happens is you worry. You sit on the throne and worry. Can I tell you something? If you're worrying, you shouldn't be on the throne. Come on. You don't belong on the throne if you're worrying. The king doesn't worry. Jesus said it this way: who of you by worrying can add 1 hour to his life? Can I tell you scientifically and biblically that if you worry, you're not adding an hour to your life. In fact, you're probably taking hours away from your life. But we worry. Listen to this. Worry is the condition of frustration caused by trying to be God when you're not. Did you hear that? Worry is the pain of being pried off the throne of God. Are you following me today? You know why you worry? Because you see things the way you think they should be. You've worked everything you can do to change them, and they're not changing. And so you're in this place where you don't have the power to do what you want to do. And the reason you don't have the power to make your will come to pass is because you ain't God. Come on, somebody. You're not God. That's why you worry. That's why you struggle. You're unwilling to let go and let what happens, happens, and trust that God is in control. Hallelujah. Can I make a promise to you today? If you just let go and let things turn out and trust God, God will never, not one time ever, sit up in heaven and go, wow, Mylon, I wish you would have taken over and made things happen the way you wanted them to happen. No, when we trust God, God is going to make it happen. Come on. I need to say that again. Worry is the condition of frustration caused by trying to be God when you're not. Worry is the pain of you being pried off. Come on, get that crowbar underneath your rear end and God pries you off the throne of God. Oh, you thought you were big. You thought you were bad. You saw the way you wanted things to be. You worked hard. You positioned yourself and you failed. And so you worry. What happens after you struggle and worry and you've been struggling over your marriage, you've been struggling over your finances, you've been struggling over everything and you've worried and you've done everything you can do and you finally reach a point where you say, I give up. Have you ever thrown your hands in the air? Just thrown your hand, I give up. I give up. If I had a towel, I'd throw it right now. I give up. Can I tell you something? That sounds like a terrible place to be, but it is the most wonderful place to be, because at the end of yourself is the beginning of God. Come on, is somebody with me today? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It is a great place for you to be when you finally stop being God, when you stop sitting on his throne, when you stop deciding that you're the one who's going to make it turn out the way it should. Hallelujah. Oh, and the Holy Spirit, he brings the light on. I'm so grateful for the Holy Spirit who brings the light on, who turns conviction on in my heart and lets me know when I'm off track. Glory be to God. The Bible says in John 16:18 that the Holy Spirit, when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. What is conviction? Conviction is when in your spirit the Holy Spirit turns the light on and you can see clearly. And there are these three things that immediately come into your view when the light comes on. You get them in here, not just in here. They are this. They are sin, righteousness, and judgment. Sin, what does that mean? That means you realize that you are not holy in your own self. That you without God are not holy. You're not good enough. You don't measure up. Sometimes we feel like we're living pretty good lives. I mean, I ain't killed anybody this week. You know, I haven't done anything bad. I hadn't stole from my neighbor. I hadn't punched my wife in the face. I mean, I'm a pretty good guy, you know. But when you get in the presence of conviction, you realize you're not as good as you thought you were. That sin has been crouching at the door. It's living inside of you. You realize that you're not all that you thought you were. Not only that, conviction lets you realize how holy God is, how above you God is. You can't get in the presence of God without getting your position straightened out. You know, you get off the throne and he gets on the throne. Are you with me today? Get in the presence of God. Conviction starts to work in you and you realize, oh man, I need to be down here, God, because you need to be up there. Hallelujah. I need to position myself correctly. Yes. It is sin and righteousness, and it is judgment. What does that mean? It means there is an impending catastrophe coming your way if you stay on the throne. Do you get this? If you remain the one in charge of your life, if you're the one who decides, I've still got some of me left, I haven't given up, I'm going to regroup and I'm going to gather myself and I'm going to work hard and I'm going to try more and I'm going to do maybe a different approach. I'm going to get some help with me, but I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to make this happen. As long as you've got an ounce of that in you, you haven't given up on yourself, and there is a catastrophe coming your way. You don't belong on God's throne. Are you with me today? Lucifer's sin was most egregious because he was trying to become God. Everyone who sits on God's throne, who takes God's position, will be forcibly removed. I need to say that again. Everyone who sits on God's throne, who tries to take God's position, will be forcibly removed. Satan was cast out of heaven. You will be too if you don't get off the throne. We're living in a time now where you have the opportunity to step down off of God's throne. You know what that's called? Church, that's called repentance. Repentance. Oh, yeah, I pulled out one of them old words from back in the days gone by. You know what? It goes all the way back to the Bible. Yes, repentance is simply this. It is to accept the truth that you saw when the light came on. To accept things as they really are, to reach the end of yourself. You see, true and complete repentance is stepping down off of God's throne. Now, once again, you remember I said that you may think sin is an action you commit, but it's really, it begins with a position you take. That position is when you try to be God, you try to exalt yourself, you live for yourself, you're your own savior, you're your own boss, you're your own power. Do you know that when people repent and come to Jesus, they're not really repenting of the actions they've committed. They're repenting of sitting on God's throne. They're repenting of putting themselves above God. Let me tell you something today. Repentance is when you acknowledge your weakness and you accept God's help through His Son, Jesus. Oh, when you realize, you're right, God, I'm not God. I don't belong on the throne, and I repent. I've been trying to live my life as if I'm God, and I'm stepping down off of that throne, and I'm going to let you be God, and I'm going to accept what your Son has done for me to save my soul and deliver me. Hallelujah. Yes, you can repent of bad things you've done, but let me tell you this. If you're still on the throne, you haven't gotten to the heart of the matter. You can repent of cussing somebody out. You can repent of stealing from your boss. You can repent of having bad thoughts in your mind. You can repent of all these things. But until you step off the throne, you haven't fully repented. Because at the root of the tree is the position that we've taken that somehow I am God. There are people today listening to the sound of my voice who need to repent. Who need to decide, I am not going to insist that life turn out my way. I'm not going to tell God how it needs to be. I'm not going to be smart and wise and powerful and make things turn out in the fashion and manner that I want them. But I'm going to release it all to God. I'm stepping down off of the throne, God. You're the one who's going to live on the throne of my life. Hallelujah. So I want to ask you today, have you reached the end of yourself? Do you still think that life should turn out your way? Then you haven't reached the end of yourself. Are you still trying to manipulate things and shape them into what you wish and what you will? Then you haven't reached the end of yourself today. Do you constantly worry because life isn't what you want to be and you struggle to make it happen and you just can't? And all you're left with is frustration and pain. If that's you, you haven't reached the end of yourself yet. But today, if you're at the end of yourself, if you've given up on you, fixing life. Come on, somebody. If you've given up on you fixing your marriage, you fixing your health, you fixing your family, you fixing this world, if you've given up on you being God, if you've come into the light and you realize that you've been trying to be God and it's been a catastrophic failure, then you're ready to come down off of the throne. You're ready to repent. You're ready to stop trying to be Jesus, to stop trying to be the savior of your own world. And let Jesus be Jesus. Let God be God in your life. I'm going to close with this thought. Some of you are carrying a heavy, heavy weight upon you today. How many of you have seen the before and after pictures of men who became president? Barack Obama's a good one, man. Example of a man who just was beat down by the presidency in the fashion that he looks. I mean, when he's there, he looks young and healthy. And after 8 years, I know he's 8 years older, but he looked like he's 25 years older. It was heavy on him. And that happens to presidents. You know why? Because there's a weight to the office. If you sit in that chair in that Oval Office, there's a weight that weighs on you that a human just can't almost bear. Just being the president of the United States. And the Bible talks about the weight of sin. Can I tell you something? If you're seated on God's throne has a weight to it that you cannot bear. The reason it hurts, the reason it weighs you down, the reason you struggle and you're always at your wit's end and you don't think you can carry this anymore is because you're sitting in a spot you don't belong in. It's weighing you down because the only one who can handle the weight of the throne of God is God Almighty. Come on. Are you in the house today? Hallelujah. It's So I want to say, lay down the weight today. Lay down the weight. Stop trying to be God. Lay down the weight today. Step off of his throne. Let Jesus be your Savior. Let God be your God today. Hallelujah.